WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome to the Low Tide here on 90.7, the Capstone, WVUA-FM. I'm Joe Schatz, joined by Adam Hambright. And Adam, how are we feeling today?
You know, I'm still good. You know, we had some disappointing performances over the weekend, but we've got a lot more to be happy about. So I'm sure we'll get the bad stuff out of the way first. But then, you know, still a pretty good weekend for Alabama athletics.
Yeah, it was overall a good weekend. But like you said, Adam, let's start with kind of the big negative of the weekend. Alabama men's basketball playing Tennessee. College game day was here for the first time, and that shows history. Alabama went back to the Crimson Tide uniforms, the retro uniforms, which they were technically undefeated in at 1-0. And, yeah, unfortunately, the Crimson Tide, though, just could not get it done. They kind of fell away in the end. Alabama only made two of their last 13 field goal attempts. And Tennessee walked away victorious, 81-74. So, you know, just an all-around kind of gut punch game. It was kind of the phrase that was thrown around a lot. Adam, let's just get kind of your maybe initial thoughts on it.
Yeah, well, you know, like you were saying, game day was there, right? And so you just had this buzz around it. And, you know, we've had sellouts before. That game, like, stadium filled up quick. And then you're in there. Most of the people are actually participating in the wide out. People were loud from start to finish. It was a great atmosphere. And then, you know, you had in the first half, Tennessee got out to about a 10-point lead. Alabama comes back, cuts it to one. Tennessee gets back out to about a 10-point lead. Alabama comes back and then takes the lead going into halftime. And I felt good. You know, most of the people I was talking to felt good about it. And then the second half, you know, still leading for a good majority of it, at least, you know, halfway through. And then all of a sudden, couldn't make shots. I mean, defense played probably one of their best games of the year so far, especially considering who they were playing against, top five team, leading scorer in the SEC in Connect. And they're just shutting them down. But then the strength of the team all season has been the offense. And then all of a sudden, can't make a shot. I think you probably know the official number off the top of your head. I think it was about like the last 7 or 8 minutes. Only hit one field goal.
Yeah.
But it was just – the whole game I thought Alabama was going to be able to pull it out, especially with what happened in the first half, and then the second half just not able to hit shots. And, you know, really you still had – you know, Mark Steers still had 22. Estrada had 16. Nick Pringle, 13 points. But then the guys that you've seen step up, Rylan Griffin only had 5 points in this one. Then you had Grant Nelson only had 3 points. And then he fouls out.
About 6 minutes.
Yeah, about 6 minutes left in the game. He fouls out. That was a huge loss down the stretch. Might have been able to help out on a couple of those shots that Tennessee was able to make to keep Alabama out of reach. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of the offensive foul called to get him out of the game. But, you know, it happens. I still think Alabama should have won the game. I think this might – Alabama has finally shown themselves that they can play good defense against top competition. So now you got two games left. You have Florida. You have Arkansas. I would expect them to go out and win those two games. I mean, it really depends on their mindset. Hopefully their mindset is like me. You know, you've shown what you can do. You just got to get the offense to step up in those big situations. I think with that performance, you know, we've talked about all year how bad the defense has been, and that was what was going to keep them from making a run in the tournament. But seeing that performance, I'm upset that they lost, but I think it might be what has finally shown us that, you know, if this team plays like that with a little bit better offense late in the game, they could actually make a run.
Yeah, I mean, this was a game that Alabama up until, you know, the – let's see, at what point was it? You know, they had 13 minutes left. finally found it. They were up 7 against Tennessee and looked like they, like you said, were going to win that game. So it definitely, I think this game is, as much as the negative is going to be that, you know, Alabama lost and kind of fell down the stretch and maybe should have won, Alabama has shown that maybe now they can finally compete and play defense effective, you know, enough to beat some of these top 10-5 teams that they're gonna run into down the stretch here, especially if they make a run. So, you know, it's just one of those games where it's a kind of a tough break and a tough pill to take, because I mean Tennessee, I mean Adam, you kind of brought it up, you know, they have a really good offense, the SEC's leading scorer in Dalton Kincaid. He was held to 13 points. You know, 5 of 14 shooting, was 1 of 7 from 3, had 4 fouls. It was not a good game by him, but what kind of Tennessee did was, you know, they had Sakai Ziegler and Adu kind of carry them in that second half. They combined for 23 points in the second half, and you know, Alabama only had Mark Sears in double figures and for the second half. So it just it turned into a kind of a bad matchup down the stretch with what Alabama was not doing and what Tennessee was able to do. So, you know, it's just a real – yeah, just –
And another thing, too, yeah. Like how I was talking about, like Grant Nelson, you know, he fouled out. We had a couple other people get into that 3 to 4 foul range. A bunch of people from Tennessee were in that area as well. They just didn't have anybody actually foul out. Yeah. And I don't know if there's any team in the country that is more physical than Tennessee. The way that they play really physical on defense. We saw it on offense a lot. You know, they were just, you know, seeking the contact. And you know, that's another thing this season. When teams have played physical with Alabama, they've struggled, and this was the first game you've kind of seen them actually be able to battle back, be physical themselves, even with a smaller lineup than who they were playing against. And you know, if they're able to play like that against a team that's not as physical, say in the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament, and you're able to play like that and possibly stay out of foul trouble, that's another reason I think, you know, you're finally seeing more toughness, and mm-hmm. that's going to be really important when it comes tournament time.
And I mean, let's not forget, this was an Alabama team that was without for a third consecutive game Latrell Wrightsell, who, you know, has Alabama, it's a crazy stat, but Alabama's undefeated when he scores double digits, and a lot of that's down to, as Nate Oates said, the ball moves better with him on the floor than with him off of it. And that was certainly the case in stretches here against Tennessee, but just kind of missing his, you know, presence on that court could also have been huge, and maybe it's a 7-point swing, or maybe it's enough to win, but obviously, you know, you didn't have him, and you know, it was just, yeah.
And another thing with you know, just looking at the rest of the stat breakdown, you know, you still had, you know, more turnovers than what you would have want. Alabama, where's the full turnover list?
12.
So 12 turnovers. Tennessee was able to get 17 points off that. But, you know, if I know Nate Oates said in the game against Kentucky not having Latrell right, so he was like he wouldn't have made a difference in the game. But Kentucky had a lot of points off the turnovers. This one, I think even more so, like if you have Latrell Wrightsell in, kind of keeping that turnover margin down, probably have a better chance to win. But one thing that I was impressed by, and this kind of goes to what I was talking about, you know, toughness and everything, Alabama had more points in the paint than Tennessee. Yeah. And that is something not a lot of people would have predicted going into it.
No, and I mean Alabama, it's essentially dead even, but you know, you out-rebounded Tennessee 44-42. You know, you got 25 points off your bench compared to 19. And yeah, it was just I think it's just one of those games where, you know, Nate Oates and I'm sure the team is going to go back, they're going to watch the film and probably have more positives than say negatives in a lot of these areas, because they were the more physical team and they played it, and you know, it you know, I probably should have won them the game, but now you're sitting here and you know, it's just, you know, we lost it and you kind of got to regroup. And I think it's going to be tricky to kind of preview ahead a little bit coming off of this loss and then having to go on the road and play Florida, who is, at this point, Alabama is two, but both these teams are competing for seeding. Florida's 10-6 in the SEC. Alabama's 12-4, so Alabama still needs to win and kind of keep that up and try to get the highest seed, because I believe as of right now, Tennessee would have to lose one of its remaining two, and Alabama would have to win out for there to be a share of the SEC title.
Yeah, so they could still get the share. I'm pretty sure if it was just the two-team share, Alabama would still be that two seed. I'm not sure exactly how all the time, but I mean, two wins over them, Tennessee's probably going to get – I saw that there was still a way for there to be a five-way tie. Don't think that's going to happen. I mean, Tennessee's got a couple of tough games, but Alabama going into Gainesville, that's going to be tough. But what I think I've seen, you know, the last several years, Alabama doesn't really – lose the next game after a loss like that. They usually come out, they usually play pretty well. The team, you know, responds. And I mean, I guess the last time I would have saw back-to-back losses, probably two seasons ago.
Well, in conference, yeah.
Technically. But like when they were you know, the year where they ended up losing, I think it was like four games, like right at the end going into the SEC tournament. So I expect Alabama to play really well. Gainesville's going to be tough, but I would still expect the team to kind of respond how they have the last two seasons.
And, you know, I know we're talking SEC tournament. Florida is still, you know, top 25 team as of now. They're 24th. I don't know, though, how that's going to change come game time, because Florida did just lose. But, you know, it's a potential quad one opponent, and come the NCAA tournament, Alabama's going to need a lot of those. So, you hope that this is more of a blip on the radar and just kind of chalk it up to the poor shooting down the stretch, and you know, maybe the message is you win that game 9 times out of 10 against Tennessee. But I'm not as concerned with this loss as, say, like a week ago when Kentucky absolutely blitzed Alabama to death on offense and scored 117.
Speaking of that, so we've talked about the responding against Florida. You know, a bunch of people have kind of taken this Arkansas game, the last game of the regular season, kind of for granted with how poorly Arkansas has played this year. The record, obviously, is not very good. And it's an 11 a.m. tip. Unfortunately for me, I will not be able to be there. I will be working. But we've seen multiple times how good the atmosphere at Coleman can be. We just saw it against Tennessee. Obviously, it's a night tip. It's going to be a little different with an 11 a.m. You know, you see it in football all the time. But I would highly recommend, you know, anybody that can be there, make it to that game. Obviously, last game of the regular season, I know a bunch of people can't make trips up to the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament. But Arkansas did just score over 100 points against Kentucky. So, I'm not saying they're going to shoot like that against Alabama, but they have started to come alive offensively, and you don't want to let down right before going into the SEC tournament.
And I mean, we saw this a couple years ago with Alabama, where they did have that letdown to end the season in 2021, and it essentially led to them just losing, I believe it was their last five, including to Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament, then Notre Dame in the first round in the NCAA tournament. And that was a team that, you know, going into that final stretch, they had beaten Gonzaga and Houston, and had a couple. There was one other, North Carolina. No, who was it? They beat three. It was three Final Four.
Well, so last year they had beaten Houston and North Carolina. And I believe they lost to UConn, but like they lost to Gonzaga in Birmingham last season. It was the year before that they had beaten Gonzaga in Seattle, and you know they had a pretty good record going into SEC play, and then it was just like the wheels kind of fell off.
Had the years wrong there,
but it was another team kind of like this one. Usually, you know, you had pretty good offensive players; they just weren't able to play, you know, as good defensively as they could have. And then, you know, you had some games where, you know, your best shooter's not making shots. I know there was a couple games I think it was like against Kentucky. Shackelford had like the flu or something, and he was missing like everything he was throwing up, and Alabama ended up losing. And they a game they very should have won easily.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was. Hopefully, we don't have that kind of letdown going in the last couple of games.
And I do think that this team is more poised than that team was. So I don't really fear for that happening. But yeah, it just you got to think.
And I just remember they did beat Houston in Tuscaloosa that year.
Yeah, okay.
That was the one where they called they didn't call the goaltending on J.D. Davidson, and all the Houston players were like breaking the chairs and stuff the way up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I was gonna say I remember that being a couple of years ago. But yeah, so Alabama is gonna kind of the final thing here before we get to break. Alabama's got big matchup against Florida coming up. Arkansas to end the year a week from yesterday. So, as long as you don't have any dire needs to attend to, 11 a.m. on Saturday, you got to be in Coleman end the year. And if you go to the game 1 p.m., you can still leave for spring break and at a decent hour. You can still come watch and then leave. The beach will be there. Alabama basketball might not. So that's what I'll say to that. So anyways, we'll head to our break here. On the low tide, when we'll be back and talking more Alabama sports and what was a pretty jam-packed weekend.
This show is a sports production of WVUAFM 90.7, a division of student media at the University of Alabama. Support us by leaving a review, rating, or following us on X at WVUAFM Sports.
Hello and welcome back to the Low Tide here on 90.7 WVUA, the Capstone Radio. I'm Joe Schatz, joined by Adam Hambright, and we just got kind of done wrapping up the tough Alabama basketball loss to Tennessee yesterday, in what was a very, very high energy game, to say the least. But we're going to switch into something a little more positive, and that is the Alabama women's basketball team, which just wrapped up their regular season earlier today with a 78-71 win over Texas A&M. They finished the year 23-8, 10-6 in the SEC, and will be a 4 seed in that women's basketball conference tournament, and have a really good chance of making a nice little run at in March for the women's tournament. So It was a pretty tight game kind of down the stretch. Alabama led for quite a lot of it early, and then Texas A&M was able to kind of try to claw back, but in the end just was not really enough to overcome what was a really strong performance from Alabama's the usual suspects. Sarah Ashley Barker had 29 points. Aaliyah Nye with 13, Loyal McQueen with 11, and just kind of a nice complete performance to end the year.
Yeah, definitely, and they've been playing really well all year. Obviously, you had the 2 times where they had LSU. They had the lead at halftime, weren't able to pull that out. Probably the worst performance we saw from them was probably that South Carolina game. But mm-hmm. South Carolina's undefeated. But I know a bunch of the students, they show up for those big games, or they'll pay attention to the big games and they'll just see those losses. But this team has been, they've had an amazing year, finishing 23-8, 10-6 in the SEC, getting that 4 seed double bye for the SEC tournament. I don't even remember the last time that the women have been able to do that. And, today they were able to seal that game with Essence Cody, who's been, phenomenal player this year. She fouled out, and they had to play several minutes without her in the game. Obviously, Sarah Ashley Barker had 29, and there was a time in this game where Texas A&M is making that comeback, and you're just, part of me also thinking about how the men had just let Tennessee come back. I'm like, oh, don't do this again. But they were depending on and you know they shot 43.5% from the field, 36.8% from a 3-point line, 38 points in the paint. You know, it's just they've been, you know, in some of these games pretty dominant. You know, they've, if you compare this team to what they were a couple of years ago, this is, you know, they're worlds apart. And you know, you got to think, you know, got to thank Sarah Ashley Barker for transferring in, and then you know, obviously, I think Aaliyah Nye, she also transferred. And I'm hoping with like the results finally coming, you know, they've been to the NCAA tournament, you know, a couple years in a row now. Yeah. Finally getting a top four seed for the SEC tournament. I'm hoping, you know, they just had that first five-star recruit with that since last year, and now it's like, can they start getting those more recruits? Can they get more transfers in to where they can finally start sealing those games against, you know, LSU or South Carolina? Yeah. You know, last year in the NCAA tournament, that game that they lost, you know, they had double-digit lead, you know, most of the game, and then all of a sudden they lost it. And, you know, I'm hoping this year they're able to make a little bit of a run. Obviously, it depends. I think they were projected as an 8 seed for the NCAA tournament. Obviously, it depends on matchups, who they're playing. But for the future of this program, I think this season is going to be kind of like what catapults them into the next level, to where they're finally going to be able to get those players to come in.
Yeah, and I think one of the big reasons for kind of why I'm optimistic about this team going into both SEC tournament and NCAA tournament is the fact that they are actually – they're kind of peaking at the right time. You know, last year Alabama started – or they were 20-6 at 1.9-4 and just beat Vanderbilt by 18. And then they lost four in a row to end the season, including a pretty bad loss to Kentucky in the SEC tournament. And then – lost to, like you said, Baylor after being up double digits, and that's just kind of how your season ended. And you were at one point 20-6 and 9-4 and looking as a potential double bye. And then this year it kind of seemed like, you know, Alabama, you know, actually was 20-7 to end the season, lost to South Carolina, and then that didn't kind of get the season away. They didn't let it go away, and they win their last three against Mississippi State, Florida, and then A&M today. And you know, they have a really, really strong possibility. Looking up the bracket here for the SEC tournament. So the first round is kind of the lowest seeds to kind of the play-in to the main field. And so Alabama is going to, in the quarterfinals, because they skipped the first two rounds, is going to play either Tennessee or the winner of Georgia and Kentucky. So Georgia and Kentucky play in the first round. The winner of that game gets Tennessee. Winner of that game gets Alabama to play in that first round. Alabama beat Tennessee in their last meeting, 72-56, here in Tuscaloosa on February 8th. And then as far as Georgia and Kentucky, they beat, you know, Kentucky a little earlier in the season in late January, and then Georgia, they kind of swamped in Athens, kind of one of their first SEC games. So, you know, it's a really good seed. Obviously, like we said, the first, you know, the first double bye in a long time, and I'll have to look up the exact year, but I believe it's their first 10-win. Yeah, here it is. The first 10 SEC win season since 1997-1998. So, like you said, Adam, just the future of the program and what it's going to do for recruits, especially with your recruits playing well. You know, like Essence Cody, she did foul out today and had 7 points, but has been, you know, a really nice addition to that team. So, when you get them playing good, more of them want to come.
Yeah, man. So. I wish I had the graphic that I had saw earlier, but it was, you know, Sarah Ashley Barker, whenever she, like in the games that Alabama's lost, she's averaged like 11 points. In the games that they've won, you know, she's averaged, you know, I want to say it was like 15 or more. I can't remember the exact number, but obviously like today was 29. You know, I've seen, you know, some other games where, you know, she's been in those high 20s. I think she's even had like a 30-point game or whatever. And, you know, so I'm looking at you know, the potential in this SEC tournament, right? And so you have South Carolina and LSU. So we know they had the one game against South Carolina where they did not play well. LSU, two games, they had the lead on both of them. Ole Miss is the three seed. So if Alabama is able to get a game with Ole Miss, I believe that would have to be in the final. I don't have the bracket in front of me, but
yeah, I'm trying to pull up a,
because after that it would be Alabama would have to play most likely South Carolina, I believe, in the semifinals, because it would be a four against a one.
Sorry, just to clarify, the only way they could play Ole Miss would be the championship.
So if somehow, because Alabama's, if they win that first game, you know, the only downside to having that double bye is, you know, those other teams are gonna, you know, be more in a rhythm. But they could have also played two games in 2 days. So winning three games in 3 days is obviously going to be tough. They come in, Alabama, let's say they win that first one. South Carolina is going to be tough if they somehow, you know, play like they did against the first half against LSU both times, pull off the upset. I was looking at the Ole Miss game because they've only played one time this year as well, and Ole Miss beat them 55-45. Alabama didn't score double digits in a quarter until the second half. Sarah Ashley Barker scored 15. Jessica Timmons scored 10. But then, you know, those other people that usually step up, you know, Aaliyah Nye, she had 0 points in that game. And it was just, I know if I'm them and if somehow you made it to the SEC Tournament Championship and then you're playing Ole Miss, you know, I think they would love that matchup again to kind of redeem themselves. Obviously,
yeah,
coming off of, if you beat South Carolina, that would be, you know, amazing as well.
I mean, that would be
And then you might have the letdown after that game. But we can talk about that when it actually gets here.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But I'm excited to keep watching this team play. You know, there's been some years where you just kind of knew, like, okay, they're going to go to the SEC tournament. They're probably going to lose first round. But now it's like, this is one of the best teams in the SEC. So I'm excited to watch them and then see how they can do. Because especially in the out-of-conference, you know, they had actually had a couple of you know, tougher opponents in that out-of-conference schedule this year, and they played really well against them. And, you know, I'm ready for them to see what they can do, you know, in an NCAA tournament format.
Yeah, I mean, this is Alabama, you know, earlier in the season beat then number 20 Louisville 78-73, battled tough against Syracuse on the road, you know, and picked up a couple really nice wins and played, I think, just kind of playing those teams, you know, they went and played Gonzaga this year, you know, just playing those higher tier opponents than, you know, what I think Alabama kind of had last year in their non-conference. I think this is that kind of bodes well. And yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. And to be honest, for the Alabama women's basketball team and the program, I mean, this is one of the teams you got to watch, I think, because there's not going to be many opportunities in which, I at least, you know, from what it's looking like, where you're going to say that Alabama might be able to hang with the South Carolina for a game if they meet up in that SEC tournament. And even, you know, even if it's not quite at that level yet, there's, the season alone is just going to bring in. I still think, I mean, you're not going to play South Carolina in the first couple rounds of the tournament, so, you know, nationally. So, you know, I think there's still potential for a really nice run, especially with the way that, you know, Sarah Ashley Barker's playing and how Ali and I shooting the ball. So, just a real positive, kind of positive note there after what essentially became a pretty downward talk of Alabama basketball and what kind of happened with Tennessee. But we will, you know, we'll go into here a little bit, Adam. Let's just switch gears because we did just have a score go final in Frisco, Texas. Alabama baseball just lost to Dallas Baptist, number 25 Dallas Baptist, I'll say, 7-5. Game went 12 innings, and it was kind of a doozy of a game, back and forth all the way.
Yeah, this is Alabama's first loss in the season. Now they're 11-1. I was telling you, Joe, you know, during the break, you know, since they had made the coaching change last year, Alabama had went 24-6. That was after the win last night. So 24-6 since firing Coach Bohannon last season. Two of those losses, SEC tournament, another two in the Super Regionals against Wake Forest. So only two losses regular season, and now three with the loss to Dallas Baptist. But Dallas Baptist, really good team, number 25. Full weekend kind of update. You know, they played Indiana on Friday night. They were able to run rule them, you know, beat them 12-0, seven innings. And you had really, like, everybody. Everybody was just, you know, hitting on all cylinders. And it was a big change from what they had done earlier in that week. They'd played UAB on Tuesday night up at Regions. I was actually able to go up there. And, you know, Alabama got down 4-0 against UAB, and then they were able to battle back. They ended up taking the lead. UAB tied it up and went into extras. So extra innings against UAB, and that was like the toughest opponent they played. Then all of a sudden they're playing Indiana on Friday, and Indiana, you know, ranked in the top 25. And what does Alabama do? They put up 5 runs in the first inning. 7 runs again in the fourth. That gave them their 12. And they ended up winning that game 12-0, only gave up one hit. And so Ben Hess, he was the one that had – he got the win in that one. So that was – that put him at 10-0 so far in the season. It was their fourth shutout of the season. Ben Hess in that game struck out 10 batters. And then all 9 guys, you know, got hits. You know, team's been hitting multiple home runs a game. And then – so then they play again on – Saturday. You know, it's hard to keep up with this game because it was on D1Baseball.com.
Yeah.
So it's literally, I was just looking at the stat broadcast. I wish I could actually watch them, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And so they beat Arizona, and that game was, where's the final? That game was a final of 7-6. That was a game they went down 4-0. They ended up battling back. You know, they were down 4-0, and all of a sudden it was like 2-run home run to cut it 4-2. You know, they kept battling back. Another game kind of like that UAB game, but Arizona, they've, you know, the record doesn't really look all that good, but they've lost to some like really good teams. Mm-hmm. And you know, most people that, you know, had watched this game and we're kind of watching the end of it. You know, a bunch of us were sitting there waiting on the Alabama-Tennessee basketball game, and we were getting the updates. And Arizona had a chance to tie it up in that ninth inning. They tried to steal home. Yeah. And then, you know, guy was out by a mile. You know, people were actually paying attention. So that's how that went in. And, you know, we felt good going into Dallas. But 2-1 this weekend against those – so with Arizona, and then two top 25, Dallas Baptist being
yeah.
So on one ranking has him at 23, another has it 25. I don't know. This is,
I believe, at least the stat broadcast one says number 25.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going
but with. It's your first loss of a year. It's, you know, I've been saying, when we've talked about him before this, I've been saying, you know, we need to see him against better competition, and we finally seen it. We haven't seen him against the SEC yet, but playing against very good teams. They had the lead a lot in the safe. I'm trying to get the, you know, Alabama had a 3-1 lead in the second. They had a 5-2 lead in the fourth, and then they couldn't score after that. And Dallas Baptist was able to come back. They had home run in the fifth, home run in the sixth, home run in the 12th. And that was see, there should have been another one. Anyway, you know, and one of those was a 2-run home run. But, yeah, so, you know, kind of the – In these close games that Alabama's had, it's kind of been the long ball that's hurt them. You know, UAB hit a couple. And then, obviously, Dallas Baptist hit 3 to kind of tie up the – 2 to tie up the game, 1 to take the lead, and then they added another run. But we've finally seen them against top 25 teams. Pitching staff, for the most part, has looked solid, even with Riley Quick being out for the year with his Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. Offense looks really good. I'm excited to see them in SEC play. They have, you know, a couple more games. They have
Jacksonville.
So it's like Jacksonville State and Troy midweek. They have a series against Lipscomb. And then spring break, they have a game in at Southern Miss. And then they finally start SEC play, and it'll be against Tennessee. So I'm, you know, this team.
Welcome to SEC ball.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because it's like, you know, new coach. You know, they did keep Coach Jackson. You know, they kept him after his success last year. He's back to being, you know, pitching coach. But it's like new coach, bunch of new faces, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this team might actually be really good. And it's something we – I mean, obviously we saw it last year making it to the Super Regionals. We've seen, you know, other years where they've had decent teams. But you haven't really seen a team play this good in a long time.
No, you haven't. And I kind of what you were going along with a lot of the new faces. I mean, guys like TJ McCants are stepping up and delivering, you know, a lot of these long balls. Even, you know, Justin LeBron as a freshman is coming in and been a really good bat and playing shortstop there. And, you know, like we said, they got some games coming up against Jacksonville State, Troy, and then the weekend series against Lipscomb. And I will say this because we don't normally talk about baseball for a whole lot, but what's really impressed me was just kind of the attitude that this team has. I mean, obviously today wasn't a great result, but, you know, it seems like a lot of the games that Alabama has lost for whatever reason it may have been, has been these kind of midweek games that are games against teams that aren't your top, you know, circled opponents. And this season Alabama's played really well. I mean, this was Alabama lost last year to UAB. They lost a game, I believe, to North Alabama. They were pretty bad in these midweek games. And this season, of course, I mean, it's, you know, 12 games in, haven't even played a conference game. But, you know, just their ability to handle and kind of play well against, you know, Middle Tennessee State, Alabama State, you know, the teams that you're supposed to beat, and the way that they have beaten them in the past. And I think the loss today, like, it's, you know, it's baseball. Sometimes you just you can't win them all. So
you got 55 games regular season. You still got a chance to go 54-1. Obviously, you know,
of course,
joking around a little bit,
but like 53-2 is not out of the question.
You know, it's you know, it's exciting, and you know, I've been most of the games so far. You know, it's there's like, I don't know, you just, the feeling that we had last year when they were making that run, and then obviously getting to host a regional. I think this team could very easily host a regional again. I know a bunch of you know, it's still early in the season, but a bunch of people have projected this baseball team to definitely make the tournament, but they've had them, you know, usually as like a, so there's 16 one seeds, so they had them on one of those two seed lines. And hopefully, you know, they keep playing like they have been. I think they could easily host again. And if that's the case, hopefully people stick around, you know, in June. Yeah. And, you know, it's because this team's good. They're exciting. You know, it's they've been, you know, several games. I think at one point they were averaging over 10 runs a game. I don't know what exactly that number is now, but it's still going to be high up there. And, you know, this – there's not going to be a lot of obviously, you know, you got one more basketball home game, so like once that's over, you know, just get over to the Joe, you know, it's basically right next door. So
yeah, you right know, field's fun too. That is
you get to yell at people and they actually hear you. You know, I'm sure they hear some basketball too, but
the individual
you have, you know, it's a lot louder like for the whole game of basketball when you go to baseball. If you've never been, you know, go to right field, get in that first row. The right fielder's right there, and you obviously can't talk to everybody in the field, but you talk to him, and, you know, sometimes you get some good reactions. I was at UAB, and, you know, it was weird because I don't know how many times UAB's right fielder has been heckled at his own field. Obviously not at their campus stadium. It was at Regions where the Barons play. But there was, like, four or five Alabama fans out there in right field kind of heckling him, and then you saw it when it got to extra innings, it finally got to him, and he was they were kind of yelling back and forth at each other. So it's fun, and it's a lot more fun at home when you have a lot more people to kind of back you up. So we have had one dad threaten to fight, you know, some of the students at one point this year, but you know, it happens.
That seems that's probably going to happen regardless of wherever you place that student section. So Alabama, you know, 11-1 and looking really good on the diamond. So we're going to segue here into a little break when we come back to discuss more of Alabama athletics and, you know, see what else has been going on in Tuscaloosa and what's coming to the week ahead. Well, this is the Low Tide on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Oh, and welcome back to the Low Tide here on 90.7, the Capstone, WVUA-FM. I'm Joe Schatz, joined by Adam Hambright, and kind of winding down things on our end, discussing some Alabama sports, but still some stuff to get through. Obviously, Alabama, you know, we already talked about the disappointing of men's basketball, the high kind of flights of women's basketball and baseball. And now we're going to get a little bit into softball. And Adam, would you like to kind of break down the weekend?
Yeah, so Alabama softball obviously out to another good start to the season like they do most years, trying to get back to the Women's College World Series again. We'll see what happens. You know, they've been playing really well. They are now they did lose their first game of the weekend, just like baseball did, but softball's played a lot more games. So they're at 19-1 this weekend. They had the Crimson Classic, and they played – so they were supposed to play Wednesday against Jacksonville State in Jacksonville. That game got postponed for weather. Then they have the Crimson Classic. They start with Northern Iowa. They win that one 1-0. Then they play Arizona, beat them 2-1. They played South Alabama. That was their first loss of the year, was against South Alabama. They lost 2-0, and then they beat Arizona again 1-0. Now, Arizona was top 25 team, you know, number 19 in one poll, 21 in the other one. The thing that surprised me the most was the lack of offense this weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that could be due to the weather. I'm not going to make, you know, too many excuses, but, you know, it was very off for them this season. You know, they've had, you know, some issues in the past. I know a bunch of people last year criticized their offensive performance most of the year. You know, they felt like most of the reason that they were able to succeed was because of Montana Fouts. And then, you know, we've talked about here how the pitching staff is still strong, you know, with Caleb mm-hmm. Beaver, Ailey Johnson, and, you know, the rest of the staff. And then, you know, this weekend kind of showed, like, so they've had a strong offense. They had beat UAB last weekend 15-0, and it's like, okay, they just done a whole weekend where, you know, they had scored 10 in one game, 8 in another one, 15. And it's like, okay, they're on track. And then this weekend at home, you know, didn't really have the same offensive firepower that you would have thought. So against Northern Iowa, they ended up so Caleb Beaver threw her fourth complete game, 117 pitches, 75 of them were strikes. And in the bottom of the first, bases loaded, ground out to the right side, plated the only run of the game. And, you know, then they needed that pitching staff, you know, the rest of the game. Well, obviously, that game it was just Caleb Beaver, but, you know, they were able to hold him off. Then they played Arizona. This was a game that I was able to go to after working with Adapted, and they hit a two-run home run in the first inning, didn't score the rest of the game. You know, yeah. It was, you know, they in that game they had so there's the two-run home run from Abby Dusher in the first, and then the second, that was when Arizona hit a solo home run of themselves. And then, you know, Alabama was able to hold on to win that game. I'm trying to see what the actual pitching stats were from that game.
Yeah, the stats are tough to come up.
Yeah, they're having a little trouble with the connection over here. But, yeah, so in that game, Kayla Beaver pitched again. She pitched six innings, four hits, obviously the one run, only had one walk. Ailey Johnson came in and she sealed the game with her 17 pitches, two strikeouts in her one inning of work, picking up the save. Then you had the loss to South Alabama, the first game they have not scored in all season. And let's see, with that one, you had South Alabama scored in the second and the third, both of them doubles that scored runners that were on. And then Jayla Torrance, she pitched four innings, only gave up two hits, but did give up the two runs. She had four strikeouts. And then Ailey Johnson, once again, came back into the game, pitched three innings, scoreless work to keep Alabama in the game, just weren't able to get the offensive production. And then you had the final game, once again, against Arizona, where they were able to win that one 1-0. And guess what? They didn't just score in the first inning this time. They waited a little bit until the fourth, where Marley Giles homered to right field. And in that game, once again, Jayla Torrance got the start in that one. She went five innings, gave up three hits, had three strikeouts. Ailey Johnson came in for an inning and a third, had one strikeout, no hits, and then Kayla Beaver came in to pick up the save, her first save, third save of the year, first save of the weekend. Pitched two-thirds of an inning, no hits. So pitching staff, very strong. Once again, it's not all just one person. Obviously, Kayla Beaver, she's the one that's getting all the talk, but Ailey Johnson coming in relief. Jayla Torrance has been, you know, having some pretty good outings. And, you know, if the bats can get hot again, I mean, the team's already 19-1. If the bats can get hot again, this is going to be a really good team when it comes to SEC play, which is starting pretty soon.
Yeah, SEC play starts Saturday, Sunday, and Monday against Florida. But yeah, going back to kind of your point here about if the bats can get going and how good the pitching has been, it is kind of it was interesting to see this weekend, just kind of over, I guess, you know, a little longer of a weekend, but just kind of the bats, like you said, fall quiet. I mean, this was a team that essentially, like you said, beat UAB 15-0 going in, you know, had multiple double digit wins, multiple run rules, coming in, and just kind of couldn't seem to find it. And it might have been, you know, maybe, you know, South Alabama, Arizona, and, you know, Northern Illinois are the three best teams that they've played, at least recently. So that could have been it. But, you know, you're also wondering that if it's happening right now and you're about to enter SEC play, is it going to be figured out, or is it going to become your kind of season-long problem? In that aspect. But if it was, you know, you talked about it a little bit, the pitching staff, if they can, I mean, if they can just keep doing what they're doing, like, it's hard to score a run against Alabama to beat them by. I mean, they, you know, multiple 1-0 wins over this weekend, you know, beat Arizona 2-1. So, like, you know, if it seems like, at least right now, the way that the pitching staff is, Alabama scores two, they're going to win. You know, and that's kind of what it's been, and that's held true for all but one game in which they led up to South Alabama. So just a really, you know, it's a bad problem to have, but not a fixable, you know, not an unfixable problem. There's still a long way to go. And like we saw today in the college softball world, anything can happen.
Yep. to tell you all what Joe's alluding to, Oklahoma loses for the first time. They had a first time this season, but they had a 71-game winning streak. They had lost a game early in the season last year, and then had, I can't remember the exact, when they won the championship, it was like 50-something straight games. And now it was, they had 71. Louisiana Raging Cajuns went in, beat them 7-5, and, you know, who knows? Oklahoma might go on another 71-game winning streak. They still look like they might be the best team in the nation. It'll be interesting to see what will happen if they match up, because this is the last year before Oklahoma's in the SEC. And, you know, Oklahoma and Texas, really good softball teams, both coming to the SEC. Alabama has been, you know, one of the best programs in, you know, softball history, really. Mm-hmm. You know, they only missed one super regional since the super regional was implemented. They only have the one national championship, but they've been to Oklahoma City a bunch. And now you're adding two more, you know, high-profile teams. It's going to be interesting to see when they have to play, you know, if not every year, you know, every couple of years, they'll be forced to play in SEC play. Mm-hmm. But maybe Alabama gets the bats hot again this year, and then maybe has to face Oklahoma in Oklahoma City. Yeah. And it'll be fun.
And to be fair, I mean, like, yeah, it's not quite Oklahoma, but in about 2 weeks, essentially, you're going to play Georgia for three games in Athens, and they're, I believe, third in the country the last time I saw. So, yeah, like, you're not going to get Oklahoma, but you're going to have to get Georgia. And this is after you play Florida for a weekend and then Florida State midweek in Tallahassee. You're then going to have to go to Athens to play Georgia. So, you know, still a really solid stretch of softball and opponents coming up for Alabama, even if it's not quite the 71 in a row Sooners. But yeah, just a... Yeah, if you can turn it around, I think, like you said, this team can be really dangerous. You know, if they can consistently put up, you know, multiple runs a game and the pitching staff with what it's doing, you're not going to lose many games. So just I think you got to think about it more as a can you ride out this kind of just storm a little bit in the hitting and get it back on track? Or, like I said, is it going to be kind of what your season is? So
yeah. And then, you know, I'll just give one quick thing before we head out, you know, almost running out of time. So Alabama Adaptive Athletics Women's Wheelchair National Championship will be this upcoming weekend, Friday and Saturday, working on getting the actual schedule brought up. But so women's team, they have not lost – to a collegiate team all season long. They had lost first game of the season to the ABC Medical Legends. They lost that one by 20 points. That's a non-collegiate team, also has some of the coaching staff on that team. So it was, you know, it didn't count towards their actual collegiate seeding or anything, but kind of a game where play a little bit better competition than most. And then they had won 24 straight games. Like I said, not losing a single collegiate team. They have had a couple of closer games against, like, UT Arlington. They had one game where they won by four. But then they had won 24 straight games until they played the Legends again, and then they had lost 52-49. A lot closer. I know the Legends had some players that weren't playing, but, you know, had a chance, almost won 25 in a row going into Nationals. Now you will have the National Championships, and sorry about that. Wow. I just got a message. I will be working the national championships all weekend. I will actually get to be a play-by-play broadcaster for the first time. I've done a couple of games with, you know, color commentating, and then I've done some of the PA announcements. So this, but this weekend I will be. For the first game, 10 a.m. Friday, I will be on play-by-play for Cooney and Illinois. Then a couple games I will be PA again before I also, like, finish up just doing producing for the actual championships. The first game that Alabama will play, if you're interested in coming out to Strandhorn Arena, because the championships are in Tuscaloosa, will be 6 p.m. Friday. Obviously, there's some other things, softball's going on, but if you want to come out and support a team that's trying to win a national championship, I believe it'll be, you know, sixth in a row. I mean, 2020 was that season didn't end, but, you know, it's either five or six, a bunch of national championships in a row. That's all you need to know. And 6 p.m., they will play the winner of Wisconsin Whitewater and Arizona. And then if they win that one, they'll be in the national championship, which will be Saturday at 2 p.m. And you know, they've haven't lost to either one of those teams this year. Like I said, you know, hadn't lost a collegiate game, so we're expecting them to be in the championship. Obviously, got the number one overall seed, so it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
Yeah, I did want to give a quick shout out. Something kind of crazy I saw from a Alabama alum of sorts, I guess. I believe it was 2 days ago. Nick Dunlap in the PGA National hit a hole in one at at hole seven. Recently turned pro. Obviously won as an amateur, won a PGA Tour championship for the first time in 33 years about a month and a half ago, a little over a month ago, I should say, and hasn't really had. Obviously, he's not going to win every tournament. Hasn't had maybe the success that he would have thought immediately turning pro, but hole in one the other day. It was a really cool shot, and you know, just a very cool thing to see from a guy who has obviously been kind of the talk of the town golf wise.
Just when you thought you heard everything you were going to hear about him this year, he gets a hole in one.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you kind of thought it might have been over, just he'll win one and kind of go away, he decides to, you know, hit a beautiful golf shot into the hole first try. So just that'll kind of wind us out of here. It's been a pleasure. Obviously, join us next, maybe
hopefully next Sunday.
We'll see.
We'll talk to Nick, who unfortunately was not here today. Maybe he'll be feeling better.
I was gonna say you'll see us next week with a full cast, but I'm sure it's something will get done in between then. But so thank you for joining us tonight here on the Low Tide. Adam Hambright, I'm Joe Schatz, and we thank you guys for listening.